Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Turbo Thursday. You're going to get you all the way into Snowmageddon. Where are we on Snowmageddon right now? I saw, by the way, earlier today that National Weather Service out of Birmingham is saying we're looking at less snow than they had originally predicted, but it could have more ice.
Yeah.
All right. So what does our meteorologist brother say?
I think his most of the ice prediction was 2 to 4 inches in Huntsville.
Mm, okay.
Which I think like...
At one point was 4 to 6.
Yeah. On Monday, his prediction was like 4 to 6. Now it's about a 2 to 4. So whenever I feel like there were so many times in Huntsville, the cutoff line with South Huntsville was like about Whitesburg between snow. There was one time I was leaving high school out in Madison and coming home, and as I was coming home, it was just pouring snow, and I was like, "Oh, it's gonna be awesome!" I get home and I get to Whitesburg, and I'm just kind of zoning out driving. I go, "Wait, this is rain," and I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me!" Well, Madison got like 4 inches, and South Huntsville got nothing but cold rain.
Oh yeah, it happens all the time. There's this weird dynamic about the I-59 corridor, which is where Gadsden is.
Yeah,
I-59 running from Birmingham, kind of down northeast up to Chattanooga, and it does that.
Yeah,
it's like there's some kind of weird weather dynamic. But one time I did finally realize that if you look at the lay of the land, a lot of I-59, once you get north of St. Clair County, it's running between ridgelines.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to have something to do that affects the weather and the winds, and I don't know. But I don't know, is something about that corridor like gets the weather all jimmied up.
I think it's a fair trade-off, though, because we've seen so many tornadoes coming east that the valley kills it off. And so I'll take that over. If there's got to be the line of snow just above us, I'll take that over tornadoes. And
Well, we've all seen that, too, though.
Yeah.
Couple of text messages real quick. Dana from Athens says, "Hey, by the way, Bucky's does not allow semi-trucks." I know.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
But you know what, though? You can always pull up on the side road and walk over if you have to. And I'm surprised that somebody, I'm surprised somebody hasn't bought the empty ground across from Bucky's and made a semi-parking lot so that people can just pull in over there and then walk to Bucky's.
Yeah. I mean, I know the one in Athens, there's a big old field next to it where they had that concert earlier this year. It's slipping my mind. They had a surprise concert in that lot. But yeah, I mean, that's an empty lot. I don't know if Bucky's owns that or not, but that's opportunity there.
So, wait a minute. Is this a business model? We just buy land, and all we do is pour asphalt on it.
Yeah.
And then we charge like $5 a truck. $5 truck parking. $5 truck Bucky parking.
that's a name right there.
Come on in. Go hang out at Bucky's. It's awesome. And oh, by the way, $5. Thank you.
By the way, we got a YouTube comment during that last Butters and Lee segment from Mark Croucher. He said that he agrees with Butters. The elite are going to be shocked at what the cost to replace this will be. The elite's feeling this in their wallet. Maybe changing
California,
things.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of which, Charlene just sent me a screenshot of a post by Henry Winkler, from Happy Days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you heard earlier in the show, we had a friend of mine, former California state senator Melissa Melendez, call in. She still lives out there now. She's about 70 miles south of the fire zone, but they're also dealing with things like power outages and all kinds of stuff. But she made the comment, and I wish I had followed up on it now, that there are videos of people actually setting the fires, like arson. Is it homeless people? Is it, what is it? I don't know. But Henry Winkler just posted, this is his post right here, said, "There is an arsonist here in LA. May you be beaten unrecognizable, the pain you have caused." And, now people are chiming in on that. It's got 1,700 bookmarks on it already, saying, "Wait, it's not climate change? Or wait a minute, what happens when it turns out to be an illegal alien? Are you going to not be woke anymore?"
That's what I was just about to say. I think the most valid quote, if you want to call it a conspiracy theory, the one that I think would be most likely is that these are, potentially, foreign foreign assets that came in through the border, that this is maybe an attack of some sort, that maybe they knew at the right time to light the fire, that the winds would be this bad. I don't know. I don't know if that – I haven't seen anything that, you know, gives that any credibility. But if there were a theory that I would think would be most likely, I think that would be one.
But if you also – I mean, listen, if they don't find that, but they find that it's homeless people starting fires – well, the homeless problem is a leadership issue in California, yep, too. And so if you combine one leadership issue, homelessness, rampant homelessness, with the inability to mitigate the fire's fuel and the reservoirs being full and all the things that the environmentalists caused, then you're looking at a sort of a swirling together, if you will.
Perfect storm.
Perfect storm, thank you, of all of the things that makes California politics just so jacked up.
Yeah. I mean,
all you got to find out is it's like an LGBTQ activist that did it, and then you got the whole schmeal.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, whoever it is, if China had an asset in here that came in through the border. I mean, there's no telling how many of those there are in our country right now. You know, if they, hey, look, the winds are gonna be really bad, you know, right here. You know, if we can strike it, you know, at the right time, it's, yeah. Like I said, I haven't seen anything that alludes to that, but that wouldn't be out of the. I wouldn't be shocked if that were the case. So
I would too. You're getting some text messages, JP. What's this about Keith Urban? Was there something you said earlier?
Oh, I was talking about the guy that did the concert, the surprise concert at Bucky's in that lot. It was
Keith Urban.
Yeah.
It was.
I couldn't remember which country singer.
I'd love to
have
seen that too. Yeah. That would have been great. And somebody, Julie Ruff from Marshall County also said the same thing to Keith Urban. Jeff from Athens texts in and says, what increases the threat is that it's been very cold for several days. It was so cold this morning, I saw a dog stuck to a fire hydrant. What? What's that got to do? Oh, he's talking about the snowmageddon. Okay,
yeah.
Now I got you. That's awful. Bob from Madison says, did you hear that the mayor of L.A., Ms. Bass, brief this morning, one thing she said was, please give some wildlife fund. And then, he just texted in. As I'm speaking, he texts in and says, it's a self-imposed disaster. Which, by the way, your voice text is not working, Bob, just so you know. But I interpreted what you were saying. No, I did not hear that. I did see something up on the screen a moment ago saying that the mayor of L.A., Karen Bass, flubbed some of the information at one of her press briefings. What was that about? Do you know? Is that the same thing?
I haven't looked at the actual press conference, but I've seen that going around. It was a nothing burger. She provided no, you know, valid information.
She was just out there.
I saw something about her trying to rationalize her decision to cut the funding as, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. That's all I hear.
Bert from Owens Crossroads says, California's been messed up for quite some time. In 1994, the voters passed Prop 187, which restricted benefits to illegal aliens. The prop was voided by the legal system and the left. I know, man. It's us on and on and on. And before I go into my dipper here, John from Huntsville just checked in. He says, I'm changing my snow prediction from Huntsville from 0.5 inch to 10 inches. What?
I think that's because he's seeing the meteorologists. I think his thing is the meteorologists are always wrong.
Whatever they say, go the opposite.
So this is like a false flag. We're actually going to get more than expected.
False flag. I get it. All right, listen, we're going to come back for the next break here in just a minute. And let me lead up to the break by giving you some insight into what we're talking about. Are we seeing the last gasp of lawfare? What do I mean by that? The last gasp of lawfare. Well, lawfare has been the absolute weaponization of the legal system, criminally and civilly. The absolute just weaponization of the legal system. It has been, against Trump, think about all the things. It's not just the Alvin Bragg case. They've had criminal prosecution against him with charges that no one had ever seen or heard of before. We had the special counsel appointed by the Department of Justice and the Attorney General Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, investigating him for crimes against the nation for January 6th and for the storage of classified documents, and yet doing nothing about Biden, who kept some in his garage next to his green Corvette. We had the civil suit in New York with the woman who claimed that he raped her in a department store 40 years ago, and the state legislature changed the statute of limitations laws just to allow her to then bring suit. And so she did. And she got a 90-something million dollar judgment, if I'm not mistaken. It's ungodly. It's so outlandish. And by the way, he was never convicted of rape, but they did come back and say sexual, it was assault. I think it was sexual assault. That's under appeal. And then you have the case in with Fannie Willis in Georgia, the election interference case, which has just completely fallen apart. And her own state appellate courts have now removed her from the case because of her gross mismanagement and her questionable ethics. And then let's not stop there. And then you have what else? The number of secretaries of state, liberal secretaries of state, like Colorado, Maine, I'm missing one. There's at least three who literally took it upon themselves to remove Trump from the ballot. And then they had to go into legal fights to get him put back on the ballot simply because a state official just didn't think it was appropriate. Well, that's not the way the law works. And then, of course, you've got the challenges to his candidacy. And then you've got, just listen, lawfare has been something that I think will be talked about, written about, and maybe even taught in law school for decades. But most of it got shut down. Listen, it'd be one thing if one of them got shut down. It's amazing when you start seeing all of them get shut down. Well, the last gasps of lawfare appear to be, I mean, you heard the old story about, not the old story, I was a lifeguard. I was lifeguard trained, let's put it that way. I got my lifeguard certification years ago, and one of the things they teach you is that a drowning person will drown you trying to save them because of panic. That's what we're seeing right now with lawfare. The lawfare proponents are in panic mode that all the things they thought they would accomplish are for naught. What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's make sure we get the information out there. Let's make sure we say this. Make sure you do that. They're doing everything they can to basically exact a pound of flesh from anyone related to Trump. And it's sick. But I'm hoping what we're seeing are the last gasps. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from the break. I'll begin telling you about the last gasp of lawfare. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you could slap on a bumper sticker. So I'm in this second dipper here. I call it the last gasp of lawfare. Is it? I don't know. Because, I mean, you would like to think that they looked at this strategy, and don't tell me this was not a strategy. That's, first of all, let me back up on that. Don't anybody try to pretend this really wasn't a broad-ranging strategy. The legal attacks, and you can't go with the, well, where there's smoke, there's fire, Phil. There was a lot of things to go to court on. No, there weren't. There were just a lot of Democrats wanting to go to court. That's what it was. And it's funny. I mean, look at some of the people that, like Letitia James. I forgot about that one. There's another one. The Letitia James lawsuit, the one that is literally trying to devalue Trump's assets and claim that he falsified loan documents to get loans, claiming inflated values to his properties for collateral. When the reality is everything got paid back and there was no indication that it was devalued. And the judge in that case assigned a value to Mar-a-Lago that doesn't even make sense. Okay, all this to say, lawfare, a comprehensive effort to just get Trump. That was from day one. It's mostly unwound. There are parts of it that still exist. There are parts of it that are on appeal. There are parts of it that are not concluded. But for the vast majority of it, it wound up being kind of a womp, womp, womp. I mean, it just like, y'all are feckless. Y'all are just beclowning yourself. Well, now what we're seeing is some of the womp, 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 they are still trying to get some of their stuff out. One of the ones that I think is the most egregious right now is Merrick Garland. I mean, the attorney, could you please just pretend that you're not partisan? Could you just try, maybe pretend that you're not partisan? He can't do that. Merrick Garland, in the final days of the Biden administration, Merrick Garland's, appointed henchman Jack Smith has pretty much been handed his backside legally, and has had to back off of. Jack Smith had two investigations, one in D.C. on the supposed January 6th insurrection, and the other in Florida on the issue of whether or not there were mishandling of classified documents. The classified documents case got thrown out, and then the one on January 6th, presidential immunity was ruled on by the Supreme Court, and that one pretty much died on the vine right then. Well, now Merrick Garland wants to release the report. What? So this is not the way this works. You don't get to go, well, we had a grand jury, and we convened, and we were going to indict you, but then we decided not to because we realized the law says you can't be indicted, or the case was going to be thrown out, or maybe it's not as bad as we thought it was. So we're just going to go ahead and tell the world there was a grand jury. That's what they want. They know that this was never an effort to truly put Trump in jail. This was an effort to assassinate his character. That's what it was. So now Merrick Garland, story here on Red State, Dateline yesterday afternoon. Attorney General Merrick Garland's Department of Justice has now formally requested that the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals lift an injunction to allow them to release the report of Special Counsel Jack Smith. What? Yep. They want to take everything that Jack Smith thought he had, none of which Trump's ever been convicted for nor ever will be convicted for because it never got to that point, and release it to the public just to make him look bad. There's no other purpose in this. Releasing that report has no value to the system. It has no value to justice. It has no value to the well-being of the nation, and it certainly has no value to the state in terms of having a prosecution of a criminal. They got none of it. They just have a bunch of stuff in there that may have been something if they could have ever made something out of it had been a real case. But they want to release it to the public because, you know, transparency and all that. Transparency. Like Merrick Garland suddenly figured out transparency? What we really have is a very transparent attempt to assassinate the character of Donald Trump, and you can't get him convicted, you're going to at least smear him. More on this and others, Phil Williams, Last Gasp of Lawfare. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern parts of the most beautiful state. I love it. It's right where I am right now. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like all the way up top of Huntsville, down to Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. And oh, by the way, have you heard? I spec you have. But if you have not heard, we go live on Monday on WGOW AM 1150 out of Chattanooga, the news talk giant of Chattanooga. Looking forward to being a part of their lineup. And that contract just got signed recently, and we've been sending them all the stuff. They got all the stuff, right?
They got all the stuff.
I looked at the guy who sends the stuff. We got the stuff out there, right?
Okay. Sending the last bit of it after the show.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll be on live in Chattanooga. We're about to be a two-state regional show, so thank you all very much for everything you do to help Right Side, to continue to grow. Hey, by the way, speaking of growing, let me make sure you guys know some stuff, too. Right Side Media is the parent company. You guys are listening to Right Side Radio. That's only one of our productions. Right Side Media has... As it's part of its, its lineup, we have Right Side Radio daily, 2 to 5 in Central Time for 3 hours. And then we have 4 separate podcasts, video podcasts. We have Right Click with Birdman. We have Right Philosophy with me. We have the Liberty Minute with former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson. And we have the Controversial Mom with Emily Jones of Moms for Liberty. And all 4 of them are doing great. And they're really something to watch. The production is great. Each one lasts anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes long, and they are up on our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then they got the written thing that comes out every week that gets published all over the region. So just lots of cool stuff happening. Right Side Media is a media company, and we're there for conservative content for ruffians like you.
And by the way, stay tuned on a potential, or not, I don't say potential, upcoming long form podcast that are in the works. So if any of y'all are, like to listen to the longer form interviews, we got some stuff in the works. So
right now,
the
plan is to call it the Just Right Podcast.
Yep. And start using that brand new studio that y'all saw in election night.
It's just sitting over there. We got to get in there, man.
It's just waiting to get used.
It's just waiting to get used. All right, let me jump back on to dipper number 2, Last Gasp of Lawfare. So a minute ago I told you about the fact that one of the last gasps of Lawfare is Merrick Garland is sulking because his boy Jack Smith didn't get a chance to prosecute Trump on two separate cases in two separate jurisdictions on unrelated issues. He thought, sure, he had a thing going on. Guess what? He didn't have a thing going on. And a thing will never go on because it went away on the basis that the cases were due to be dismissed. They didn't even lose on the merits. They were dismissed as cases that cannot be pursued. And yet Merrick Garland believes that the most important thing we could do would be to release to the world the reports of what Jack Smith would have done if he'd actually had a case that was truly prosecutable. That, my friends, is called defamation. That is called nothing but a smear tactic. That's called petulant temper tantrums. I'm the AG, but I can't control myself. I don't know what to do. I'll just tell the world all the mean things that I wish we could have said about him in court. That's just asinine. It's jackassery is what it is. Here's the other one. This one is another one of those last gasps of Lawfare. So you know about the Alvin Bragg case where they got 34 felony counts, convictions. Oh my gosh, Trump's a convicted felon. Well, no, he's not. First of all, the 34 felony counts were actually the same unusual, never-before-been-used charge where they took a misdemeanor under state law and then said that since it related to something that might have been campaign finance related, that made it a federal tie-in so they could then be able to craft a sort of a hybrid of a state misdemeanor into a federal felony, but we'll try it in state court. No one's ever done this. Why it got allowed to pursue, I don't know. But they wire-worked this thing into a novel case of first impression. Trump was convicted on 34 counts, they say. What were those 34 counts? All these separate things? He did 34 things? No. Each check he wrote for the exact same thing, they counted that as a separate felony. They like to say it's 34 felony counts. It's 34 checks of the exact same thing, all of which is appealable. So, he's not a convicted felon under the law until he's had the appeals process, well, technically, until he's been sentenced. Okay, which is going to be appealable on a variety of grounds. Like, there's so many things that happened in this trial that you look at and go, how'd that guy ever become a judge? Well, Judge Juan Merchan has decided he's going to sentence Trump, like, tomorrow. What? Yes. Like, does he know that he's about to be inaugurated as president of the United States? There's kind of a lot going on right now. He's at Jimmy Carter's state funeral today. He's got all the inauguration stuff. He's still picking his cabinet. But you're going to interpose a sentencing tomorrow. Yes. Well, I mean, certainly that's the judicial discretion, they call it. Set the calendar. The judge has his docket. He sets the calendar. Let me explain something about the court system. It is far more flexible than you would imagine. Judicial discretion goes both ways. Judicial discretion says, do the sentencing now, and judicial discretion would say, do the sentencing a little later. If this were a murder trial and Trump was about to take office, but he had blood on his hands, I would get it. But here's the kicker. Judge Merchan came out just the other day and said that he does not anticipate any sentencing that would involve jail time or overly punitive measures. What? Well, then why do you need to do sentencing? They want it badly so that he can go to the inaugural as a convicted felon. That's what they want. They want a convicted felon who's on appeal at the inaugural. There's no other purpose in it. Well, maybe Judge Juan Merchan just wants to clear his docket. Right. Because it's taking up a lot of his time? No, it's not. The trial's over. He's gonna lose on appeal. Now, the one thing I will say is, once the sentencing takes place, the appeal process begins. But there's no reason in the world why he has to look at the most important job in the world as president of the United States as being secondary to a non-punitive judicial determination of sentencing. This makes no sense. By the way, just so you know, Trump has immediately filed for a stay of the proceedings. The stay of the proceedings went to the appellate courts in New York, and they were rejected. So the appellate courts in New York said, no, if the judge wants to do it, you're just going to do it. we now have an appeal before the Supreme Court of the United States. Supreme Court of the United States, the way they work that situation is the various justices have oversight over different regions of the nation as to what they will, quote unquote, take up. The question of whether it's going to be taken up falls to Judge Sotomayor, Justice Sotomayor. Very liberal. Will she take it up? We should know in the next hour or so, I would think, because it's going to have to be a determination rendered today because the sentencing is tomorrow morning. This whole thing is just, it's the last gasp of lawfare. That judge really wants, I'm going to be in the papers. I'm going to have a book deal. I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the one they said he actually got Trump. I got news. SCOTUS has a chance to answer. But you know what? In the end, Judge Juan Merchan's got a lot to answer for. And I suspect that the appellate courts are going to see this for what it is. Have I got time for the? Yeah, I will. Okay. Here's an interesting dynamic on Fannie Willis. Oh, Phil, did you go there? I did. Got a piece from the Daily Signal. Fannie Willis, headline, Fulton County taxpayers pay for Fannie Willis's outrageous misbehavior again. I mean, you couldn't write a movie script like this. Got this from the Daily Signal. So believe it or not, with everything going on and Fannie making a fool of herself, having an affair with her co-counsel who really wasn't even qualified to be a prosecutor, she just brought him in because that was her lover boy, and they took trips, and she paid him twice as much as any other contract lawyer, and it was kind of messed up. Well, we just got new decisions rendered against her where she's being chastised for improper behavior. It's like, how did you get elected? For that matter, how did you get reelected? But just know this, we don't know the actual outcome yet, but here's the thing. The last gasp of lawfare on Fannie Willis is that the appellate courts in Georgia removed her from the case. She is no longer allowed to prosecute the thing that she said was a major case that needed to be pursued. She and Loverboy have both been taken off. And she was actually admonished. It was not a little bit. She was admonished. So what I'm waiting for now is to see whether or not her state bar association is going to consider her for review for ethics violations. Because for her to be admonished for ethics violations clearly indicates they had enough there to work with that the state bar should now take action. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. The case against Trump is now floundering. No one's going to take that case up. But the part that I like, as much as I like the fact that it's going to be done against Trump, is if you remember, Fannie Willis had 18 different people that she indicted, whose lives she began to ruin to get Trump. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of them go, wait a minute, I'm going to go ahead and appeal this now. Or I'm going to resist it now. Or I'm going to say, guess what? You can just go pound sand. All right, we're taking a break right now. Last break of the day. Y'all, I'm just telling you, Snowmageddon coming. What do you think? Snowmageddon. John from Huntsville says 10 inches now. I don't think so. I don't think so, John. But I think we're getting something. Coming right back, get some text messages and wind up the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.